So in some ways, it's measuring if the, I'm assuming that if they've been diagnosed, they're being treated. So it's in some ways kind of quantifying that too, where they are in terms of treatment. And it also is getting back to the earlier discussion. It really is pushing the that particular tool as opposed to others.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In terms of your question around process outcome, one of the reasons I asked the question about how patients who didn't have a PHQ-9 done were handled in the remission measures, there are several different approaches to measurement for dealing with the getting the whole thing started in the first place. One of the things you could do is pair this with one of your outcome measures to make so that you've got the process measure that says, yeah, you do it, and we'll figure out, you know, to get a number on what the participation and use or the use of the tool is. And then you pair it with the measure that's the remission measure, which is the true outcome measure. But the two go hand.
Right.
But it's tied to it, exactly. You can, through one of your recommendations could be to tie the two together, which would sort of take care of your scope issue if you'd like.
You can
tie all three, actually.
And what that means is anytime anyone went to use one, they actually need to use all three and publicly report all three measures together. We're throwing it out there.
Okay.
We're letting you know.
Sort of enlarge the domain slightly when we put out the call. And looking across many of the other measures that are submitted that are sort of process-like, this is actually one of the better ones. And so I would sort of err on the side of including it because I think it's actually at least allows people to, have a way to to demonstrate that they're actually looking at outcomes.
I have a question for clarification. We've talked about 6 months, and we've talked about 12 months. Now I see here that they're talking about administering it at least once during the four-month measurement period. That seems a little out of sync. Or am I missing something here?
I can try to answer that. It is a little bit arbitrary. We are having groups submit to us three times a year in four-month segments. And part of the questions as they submit their outcome, their denominator data to us, is how many patients are you seeing in your clinic, how many have the diagnosis of major depression or dysthymia, and how many of those patients received a PHQ-9. So it is a counting type measure. The 4 months is just how we happen to have our... Correct. Right. We had a historical catch-up period of actually 3 quarters, and it's very easy to achieve one PHQ-9 in 3 quarters. So the time frame is a little bit arbitrary. If a group said, oh, we're going to look in 12 months, did you receive a PHQ-9, your rates are probably going to be much higher.
The other two are going to be a problem.
But yes. The other two do have a initial PHQ
Correct.
Embedded
Correct.
In and then measuring
it
thereafter. It's
there.
Is that correct?
It is correct. But what you will not capture the ones you won't capture the that's where
you can.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the existing NQF measure on acute phase or optimal practitioner contacts. It's using the typical 12-week number of visits. Ideally, you would tie the PHQ within that period, and you'd have some harmonization here that makes sense from a process point of view. As it stands now as a simple counting measure, well, I agree with Harold, and I'm okay with including this. It, in many ways, is not at all an outcome measure per se.
We did start publicly reporting this information, and the groups that are 20% or below, they aren't very happy because they know that their efforts to embed this process in their care haven't been too successful so far.
Well, and if you're going to take this a step further, you don't have any idea about all the patients that were not recognized and therefore did not have a PHQ. So, I mean, it just depends on how far.
I'm confused. To me, this measure becomes irrelevant with the other two being passed.
The only way that you could do it, which is what NCQA does, is anytime the PHQ score does not exist, it counts against them in the remission measures. That is the only other, I think, way you could do it without this measure.
Right.
And capture everything. So if you didn't have a PHQ 9 score, it would be the same as using diabetes as an example.
Right.
Or if they had an A1C test done but you didn't have the level, that counts against them in meeting the performance of that measure.
Well, I just assume that would be...
No.
But that's not the case here, correct?
No. Yeah. In fact, the way to score... Yeah,
right.
I mean, one of the ways to get around the remission measures is to never do a PHQ-9.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what this measure is trying to...
depression, and then you don't have to do any of this.
Right. So you well, have a couple options. I mean, you can always request a developer to consider some changes to the measures and have conditions on the recommendations asking for type of change on the remission, or you can accept this as a paired with...
Well, that weakens the integrity of the other two measures, but that's okay.
But you have a few options before you.
I guess I don't see why we would link this to the other two measures, since the other two measures embed an initial PHQ in there. I see this going after a different population, a different set of issues. And, you know, I basically agree with what Harold's been saying, but I think it's clearly processed right now.
The other two have a PHQ score that people would be entered into. This has none. So is the assumption that if their PHQ score wasn't 9, you know, was less than 9, that they wouldn't be part of the follow-up, the 6-month, 12-month?
I would argue that linking these is essential because it goes to the issue of usability of the outcome measures. You know, we have enough problems with lacking risk adjustment, but at least if you can look at the measures, the outcome measures we just endorsed, and make a determination about the denominator and whether you're actually getting at a substantial part of the population with depression or you're missing most of them, this will allow you to interpret the you know, what you've captured in your outcomes measures. And I think that it really is anything we can do to help improve interpretability of a publicly reported measure is a good thing.
But, Joe, I'm not following. I mean, as I understand this, if you are going to rely on the remission measures of doing an initial PHQ and then a follow-up to demonstrate remission. Pardon me?
It doesn't require that, yeah.
Yes, it does. Well, the last two measures
did. Yeah,
but
this is capturing the one that doesn't get any.
Here's what happens. In any health... You have to have a PHQ to be in that denominator. That is under consideration before us right now, you don't have to have a PHQ to be in the denominator. All you need is an ICD-9 diagnosis of depression from the chart. So so it's a wider, it's potentially a larger denominator. And what this really tells you is if only 20% of people are getting a PHQ, then when you look at your other the true outcome measures, you're really only capturing 20% of people who have an ICD-9 diagnosis. And that's still not the whole universe of depressed people, but it's getting at a larger denominator.
And Justin, there's actually pretty good data to show if you're looking for people who are currently depressed by PHQ measures, the best place to look for them is people who have a current diagnosis of depression, ICD-9 diagnosis of depression.
So I'm a little confused. This standing by itself, if it's not linked to the other outcomes, just the fact that you're just collecting this information once every 4 months, that's all this requires, right? So I guess I have a little bit of so what. I mean, if it stands by itself.
I mean, I see this as a process improvement measure. It's to get the adoption of PHQ out into usual care in evaluating patients with a diagnosis of depression. And I think it's wonderful for that reason. But I still don't see this as an outcome measure, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not an outcome measure, but it helps you interpret the other outcome measures, and so it becomes an important part of the toolkit for the end user who's going online and looking at a public reported measure and wants to know, you know, who are these people in the denominator. It doesn't answer all those questions, but it helps you along to know whether you're only capturing a small proportion or... that's what I'm arguing, that it should be approved, not because it's in scope, but because it adds to the usability of the two other measures.
But
the reason I can see supporting it...
Well, that's why I'm supporting it.
But why have the complication of another one? Why not simply change the others to say your first measure is how many had a baseline, rather than having this other thing floating around out there? Just have them, so when they report...
Then you're radically changing the measure because you have a new denominator.
Right, but when you start up, eventually, it's the same thing. I mean, essentially, you're changing the denominator. If you link this, you're changing the denominator.
No, I think what you're suggesting would require a whole new measure, set of outcome measures, where the denominator is ICD-9 diagnosis, and that is...
But that's what this requires, right?
No, this is... this does require it for this measure.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not different. It's just... if you're linking it, you're doing the same thing.
Right. There are multiple approaches to get to the same thing. One of the reasons people like to keep them separate is because they become more actionable. If all you have is the low score on the outcome measure, you don't know, without being able to break it down, how many just never had the test in the first place versus how many did not change over the time frame. Whereas if you break them down, but either we've seen both kinds of measures. They come in at
this isn't just
way.
Process.
Another.
Why couldn't you just change the first measure to have the first two measures to measure the first two measures, but then using your current database. Reuse the same numerators for the first two measures and come up with some other measures that use the ICD-9 diagnosis population as the denominator. Wouldn't you get to the same thing? Too confusing, huh?
Nobody's done that, and nobody's submitted a measure like that. So we don't have the option to work with that right now, unless somebody next year or the year
Joel's
after
got it.
Does that.
Okay.
The other concern I have about this is that patients have a diagnosis of depression, at least in primary care. It is not uncommon to carry that diagnosis forward for a long time. So if I've documented a PHQ and the person's remission, then the question becomes, well, how frequently should I surveil patients with treated depression for recurrence? And frankly, the data are not, I don't think, very robust, and you're adding substantial burden since depression is an extremely common diagnosis in primary care. Now, we could argue whether that would be, on the whole, a good thing or not, but the question I would say is, is that burden, which is getting down here a little bit, and I see both Harold and Bob.
I think one question, Joel, do you know what is the current diagnosis rate of U.S.
That's in the general primary care population, and this is likely to be an enriched source of people with, actually there's good evidence that this is an enriched source of people who currently have depression symptoms above threshold. So one could easily say that certainly once a year would be a reasonable amount to do that, if somebody's still carrying a depression diagnosis. That's what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying it's.
Can I make a comment here? I mean, this is a very interesting discussion, and I don't suppose we're following Robert's rules of order, but I feel an urge to call the question right now because I think some of us are going to think this is a process measure and isn't within scope. I think some people will think it ought to be within scope. I think we're just going to have to at some point vote on it. And because I'm not sure we're going to come to consensus about
just one other question about for clarification, though. The four-month measurement period that you refer to here, that begins when someone is first seen in a health system and gets a diagnosis of an ICD-9 diagnosis of depression?
Correct. They would have to have a visit with that diagnosis in that time frame that you're measuring.
So it is possible to have somebody who's been depressed for 20 years, but what would define the measurement period is, I mean, it has to start with the availability of an electronic record that has an ICD-9 code in it, right?
Correct. And you wouldn't, building off what Joel is saying, if they're not scheduled to come in every 4 months, you wouldn't have them come in simply for the screen, would you?
No, they actually couldn't be counted because the identification of those patients are you have to have a visit with the diagnosis of major depression or dysthymia in that time frame. If you don't have a visit during that time frame, you're not even in the denominator.
I think we got to get to call this, too. I want to make a comment, though, which as much as I'd like to improve care, you know, you said this is a good process measure. And this is preparation for the book. Yeah. Of all the process measures, this is a good process measure. It would help improve care. I don't think that's what we're here for. I think we're here to identify
outcome.
Measures or outcome
outcome
measures.
Right.
I think we need to have the vote.
So how about if we call? Oh, Katie has a question. Comment.
Is there a way we can vote on this as linked?
Well, maybe Reva could explain. I thought that what we were going to do is vote whether it's in or out of scope as an outcome measure. And then, or now, I wanted Reva to explain more clearly what you mean by a process measure that's linked. Where's that vote go?
Well, again, these are cumulative, and that's why sometimes, you know, we can put ourselves in a box. But one of your alternatives, if you're concerned about it not being an outcome measure and out of scope, but you still feel there's something valuable about it and you would like to maintain it in some way, is you do have the option of linking it or pairing it, is what we say, and so that you would have the paired process measure paired with, say, the six-month outcome measure, such that when you did one, you did both. The two travel together, they are really two parts of the whole recommendation. And so that's always an option, and that is a way of getting around. You've got a dangling process measure, but for those of you who feel that it has value to the outcome measures, this is a way of using them.
Separate votes or sequential votes?
That, well, for us,
vote on all the.
I'm just trying to clarify. I'm on The Price is Right. I'm on the TV show. I've got door number one is saying doesn't meet scope, not important. Door number two says does meet scope, important, and we can go down the complete partial.
Yeah, I mean,
we got a bunch of doors. We got Winchester Mystery House,
so we
actually.
We got even more doors. Okay. All right. Thank
well,
you.
You're talking about two measures at a time is what's going on. So I think the question probably first off is there strong enough feeling by the majority that this measure is out of scope under all potential eventualities, linked or not linked, separate or whatever? So should we just take it off the board all together because it's just out of scope for the project?
So it sounds like we should have that vote.
Yes,
now.
And do that. And then we can do the ones that follow. Okay, does everybody get that?
Well, can I just, I mean, I would vote that it's out of scope, but if there were an option of saying that if you were going to use either of the other two, then you also had to report this.
Yes.
Where the other two are the primary measure and this is just sort of a hanger on, then I would vote for that.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you have three choices.
So can we vote three options? Out of scope?
So if the initial vote is on in or out of scope, up or down, that doesn't preclude further votes. So we won't kill the further. It's not like the Senate where discussion is ended, you'll never hear about this again, right? Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, well, let's try it as a two steps. So the first one is in or out of scope, and if you vote that it's out of scope, it does not come back. It's dead. It's gone. Goodbye. All right. So just keep that in mind. Okay.
So this is not in or out of scope as an outcome measure. This is in or out of scope of whether we ever want to hear about it again. That's what you're saying, Reva.
That's
different.
If you say it's out of scope, it's because it's a standalone process measure you feel does not have any role in the outcomes work you're doing.
So okay.
Is that clear?
So everybody should be clear what we're voting on.
Right.
So what I'm putting up here, does this make sense? Out of scope, as in scope, and then in scope would be as a standalone.
Well,
I think that's how you have to break it down, or as paired.
Right. I'm hearing we want something totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if we vote on that instead of making us make an illogical statement?
Okay, Katie, what do you want?
So we want it to be tied to one of the other measures, and it is in scope in that context.
So if we kind of switch it. So if for some reason it doesn't pass as paired with one of them, then we'll go back to the out-of-scope vote. I think that's what you're getting at, yes. Right?
It's a compound vote.
Does that make sense?
I'd say we've already endorsed this.
No.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
Logically, we have. By approving the other two outcome measures, we have passively approved this measure as part of that outcome.
No, you have not. No, not at all.
I think the group is saying that we don't want to say this is an outcome measure because it would be silly to say that.
Right.
But we would like to consider it as a hanger on. But clearly process. Isn't that what we're saying?
No.
Because it will help the other outcome measures.
I think Joel is
well,
saying
when
Joel.
State, okay. I believe that this is a process measure by itself. As a standalone, it is not an outcome measure. However, I think it's important to measure because it helps improve and enhance the usability and interpretability of the two other measures we just voted to endorse.
So how about if we consider that a motion and we'll vote, that's very well stated, and why don't we say whether we agree with that statement or not, and that's what we will be voting on. Is that okay, Reva?
Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
No?
But does this mean, is this voting to say that this would be a standalone measure then, or that it would have to be? Because, Joel, I think you're what you implied is that it was not really an independent measure or a standalone measure.
I don't think it meets the criteria as a standalone outcome measure.
Right.
It certainly could be a standalone process measure,
right.
But that's not what the scope of, right. I mean, that's out of the scope of this committee's, you know, our scope definitions from last November. I mean, maybe, I don't know if we need to disaggregate those statements and vote on them separately, or you want to do the package. That's really the chair's prerogative.
I'd like to suggest, based on what we did last November, of in developing an incredibly broad definition of outcomes, which included population health, the social determinants of health. We basically voted on climate change
as health outcomes,
as
though.
Health outcomes,
not processes of care, not processes of care.
Okay. But given the incredible breadth that you all accepted, or we all accepted, as being outcomes, why not just define that we like this measure and know that it's a process measure and say we endorse it anyway?
Well, because I think we have a process here that allows us to endorse this as a linked measure that enhances the usability and interpretability of the other two outcome measures we endorsed. I know I'm being redundant, but I think that's really the legitimate reason for this committee's, and within the scope of what this committee really did lay out last fall. Well, you want the latter, not the former. Well, the former was the aggregate statement. Let me do that, and then if you want a shortened version, I'll try and reiterate. The as a standalone measure, this really is not an outcome measure. It's a process measure. So technically out of scope. However, I think that it is a measure that enhances the usability and interpretability of the two other outcome measures we just endorsed, and therefore I believe it should be endorsed as a linked measure to the other, to either of the other, to each of the other two.
Comment is, I think what we have before us is that we have endorsed a concept. The concept would be measurement of status through this tool. The problem we have is I think the measures themselves could be made stronger, and we're now cleaning up imperfect measures that, unfortunately, that's not the rules of the game. But I think that, we're taking measures from a community, but I think if we had some more time to work with, they'd be better numerator and better denominator.
Diagnosed at time zero, and let's say I come in at 5 months, and I have depression diagnosed at 5 months, and there wasn't a PHQ in the first 5 month interval.
You weren't seen in the office.
Well, let's say I was seen in the office.
If you were seen in the office in that first 5 month interval.
Use your mic, please.
If you were seen in the office in that first 5 month interval, had the ICD-9 codes applied to one of your visits, and then if you had a PHQ-9, that would be counted. But if you were not seen in the office during that time frame with depression diagnoses, you would not be in the denominator for this process measure.
I mean, it seems pretty much garbage in, garbage out, in the sense that it is implying that there is follow-up and then there is re-diagnosis. I understand from a community adoption
spread, diffusion of a technology, if you will, why this is being used. I still am worried about this as an accountability measure, even linked to the other two. I also wonder then, to just take my question one step further and then I'll let the vote occur, is if I had that first 5 months and let's say I didn't come in, and then let's say at the 6 month I get another diagnosis of depression, it starts over again, or are you excluded, or what happens?
Let me see if I can try to explain without being too confusing. The denominator is different for the remission measures and this process measure.
Right.
So going back to the remission measures, if you are diagnosed with major depression or dysthymia and your score is 10 or above,
right.
You are in.
Right.
And if you never see your provider again over the next 7 months, because we do allow a plus or minus grace window, you fail.
Right. Got it. Okay. Now, but for this current measure...
Right. For this current measure, it doesn't matter what your PHQ-9 scores are. You're in the denominator if you have depression or dysthymia.
And is that a denominator that lasts
four months?
4 months. So if
correct.
I came in at time zero and have the diagnosis, you'd have one chance to get the PHQ within the four-month period.
Correct.
If I come in at 5 months time frame then with depression, that would be a new episode
correct.
Of measurement.
Correct.
If I come in at 8 months or 9 months, it would be yet another episode of measurement.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Can I also comment on the issue of unintended consequences, which should always be our concern here? If this is endorsed linked to the two other outcome measures, that, and it's not endorsed to be used as a standalone process measure, then there wouldn't ever be a situation where someone would get dinged for not doing a PHQ in the first 4 months because they... No, let me finish. Because... it would only be used in conjunction with the outcome measures that we just recommended for endorsement. And therefore, to get in those denominators, you have to have a PHQ. So nobody's going to get dinged for not having a PHQ as a result of endorsing this as linked.
No,
not at all. All I'm saying is I'm just addressing the concern or potential concern that people may have that if we endorse this in any way, that failure to have a PHQ, in particular that tool, on the chart is going to result in a health care provider or system getting dinged. That won't happen the way we are or the way I last stated the proposal to endorse.
Just as a clarification, when we talk about linking them, what we're doing is saying that when these are implemented, the expectation is they will be used together so that you will get a report of the result for this measure and the result for the outcome measure. No, it's not a composite. It's just the two travel together. So it's not a cafeteria. You don't get to choose one and not the other. We're saying do them both. Are paired. Yes, they are.
Okay, so this would be a reasonable thing. Just one.
Well, actually, right. Reva, you're...
What I'm saying is that, so that, that
process.
I would hope you're internally consistent in your notion of outcomes.
And this is one of, as I said, my view is that this is one of the better process measures that's actually, you know, pretty has pretty good evidence linking it to outcomes. So that, that's why I think that it's benefit. So from my point of view, I think as a an outcomes related process measure, whatever you want to call this sort of enlarged Venn diagram, it has significant value and is good. But also, I think that it helps to interpret those other two measures because you get a sense of what they didn't capture.
So you're sort of you would like to amend. You would like to amend the statement that Joel made that where you said that it would be useful in coordination with these measures to interpret the other outcome measures. And it sounds like Harold is saying that it also should be considered as a separate, as a standalone.
Yeah. We need two votes.
So we could
the vote and the standalone vote.
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's take those.
Okay. Let's take those two votes.
The rationale for that is that I think there may be organizations that choose to only do the remission measures, and it would be important for them to have that information linked, that if that's what they're going to do, so that they can interpret them better. And on the other hand, there may be organizations that don't want to use the remission measures, but want to have a sort of an outcome related process measure. And they
I could be convinced that it should be recommended as a standalone. I could be convinced, but I have a question based on Reva's last clarification about harmonization, whether we could even link these. Because if I can wrap my brain around this part, it looks like if you link them and they're traveling together and you have to do them all, if you have an ICD, oh no, I guess I've answered the question. You can, it doesn't matter.
It does, exactly.
Okay.
The 4 months, how did you decide that? That's when you kind of report things in your organization?
Correct. Right. It aligns with the data submission.
Right. So I don't think we should be getting hung up on 4 months because it's the way they are reporting compliance with getting a PHQ for someone with 3 diagnoses. That's all that is. You could do that in 2 months. You could do that in 8 months. You could do that a yearly. You could do that every 2 years.
That's the issue of the measurement that we're faced with. It's the one we're voting on, and I agree.
Well, but I think the idea is that what you're getting is just it's a cross-section of how many people are doing measurement-based care. So it just gives you a figure of how frequently are we getting this, and that's important in terms of interpreting the outcome. As a process measure, even as a standalone, it's not necessarily tied to you're getting a clinical assessment that's tied temporally with the initiation or management of treatment. It just says you've been seen, you have an active diagnosis, and we assessed you with this tool. You know, you could be 8 months out, you could be 2 weeks out. We don't know in that cross-section. So even as a process measure, I would say that it needs work. As an add-on to our outcomes, I think it makes a lot of sense.
So why don't we take a vote that Joel put on the table about the add-on, that this is the add-on to help interpret the first two that we recommended.
So this is a paired or linked measure, is that correct?
And just to, again, to be really clear, by doing that, and I'm still struggling with the unintended consequence thing, it means that when they are performed, they'll all be performed together, meaning all three?
You've got again more options. Which ones are you linking? Are you going to link the process measure with both outcomes as a triad, or link the process measure with each outcome independently?
But even if you do it with each of them independently, it means that everyone with an ICD-9 diagnosis will be included in the denominator. At a minimum.
Of the first measure.
Right, but then
and then the
second measures would be applied to those
that
but
have.
But that's where the harmonization problem is. You couldn't do that unless you had a PHQ score.
Exactly.
So that's the harmonization issue. It doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter because you're not talking. That isn't so much harmonization. The numerator of the first one.
It doesn't preclude you from doing
it. It sets up your dom.
I suggest we link them to the two measures independently because
then it doesn't force
people.
I would agree with that.
I
agree with you.
Does everybody agree that the recommendation that we're going to vote on, yes or no, is going to be Joel's statement, but with the linking.
With Richard's caveat.
With Richard's caveat about linking independently. And didn't you have another caveat, Rich?
No, I think we're
That's
there.
That's it. Okay. So we're going to vote yes or no. How many vote yes to recommend that?
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay.
And how many vote no?
So just one?
And how many vote abstain?
None.
Okay.
Eric's out of the room.
Yeah, Eric's out of the room and Carol's out of the room.
Okay, and Harry's back.
Now the independent.
Okay. Okay. So this is whether we would like to recommend this as a process measure
as a recommended measure.
It's within the scope of our
Whatever.
Yeah.
You've decided.
This is a recommended measure.
As a recommended measure.
Recommended measure.
You'd be recommending this measure in the NQF portfolio that would be used by itself, by anyone and everyone.
It's a reflection of people's scope.
Yes.
Yeah, these things aren't categorized, as I understand it, by the. No.
Well.
Okay. So. So this is. You're talking about recommending it as an outcome measure?
No.
Recommending it as an NQF measure.
Right.
Recognizing it as.
Yeah, everything we're recommending, we're recommending as an NQF measure. There's no.
One of the issues around scope is it helps us limit what we could bring you guys 200 measures to play with if we didn't put some boundaries around what we wanted to talk about. It also provides the field when we ask for the call for measures and submissions to tell them what we want to consider. So that's all the scope does. Once they go through the process, they just end up in the portfolio to be used.
Sheila, you had a comment about this measure from a process perspective. You had some concerns about it.
Well, my comments were related. I think what this will measure, this process to me just says, are we using measurement-based care or not? Are you getting the tool?
Exactly.
It doesn't tell you about the meaningfulness of when you're doing the assessment or how that might relate to treatment decisions, just that when you see a patient with diagnosis of depression, you're using a measurement-based tool to assess. And so that's probably acceptable as one process measure. I would like to see other process measures that said that you would have this within X time from the initial diagnosis or the initiation of treatment. But this at least says, are you doing it? And I think that's an important measurement, but we could go a step further in terms of where it falls in treatment.
Yeah, well, we should actually save that for when we get into what our recommendations are for further development.
Okay, but that's not right now with the vote, right?
No.
Please, no. Okay, so are we
ready to vote on this measure as in recommending it as an independent measure by this group, right?
Yep.
Okay, all in favor?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
Standalone measure.
Was it 6 or 7?
Okay, should we do it again?
Well, you need to keep your hands like up.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I want
1, 2, 3.
We already voted on that.
Oh, I missed
that.
Yeah, we already voted on the
hands. Okay. And then
Yeah, you can stop now.
Sorry, thank you.
He was so high.
Okay. All opposed to recommending this as an independent measure. Okay.
It's a push.
Did everyone vote?
Bob.
Are you going to get recorded?
Abstain. So how many?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't ask for abstentions. One abstain, right? One abstention. Okay. We've lost three. Yes. Wait, you'll change your vote?
Two.
Two.
Yes for
independent.
So it's eight and six then. 8, 6, and 1. Okay.
And I want that extra payment for Nebraska.
I think Ben.
Hey, it worked out for everybody. Now everyone's getting it.
Disagree.
No, at this point, this concludes the first section, work group number one. So at this point in time, we had planned.
So the importance, scientific acceptability, and all that for the process measure. We need to know if you feel that, again, I think, well, you're actually evaluating this both ways, standalone and linked. Does it meet the importance criteria? Does it meet scientific acceptability, usability, feasibility?
Well,
you've now determined it would be used alone and linked. So as a measure itself.
Okay, so are we ready to vote? We've had a lot of discussion about this measure. Can we vote on importance?
Can we assume that... Does anybody think it's not important?
Right.
Okay, great. Okay.
Streamline.
Yes. What's the next one?
Scientific acceptability.
Does anyone think it is...
Completely meet the criteria? Partially meet the criteria. One, two, three.
Did you assume completely or not?
No, I saw no votes.
Oh, it wasn't... Okay.
Should we start over?
Did you want to vote completely, Katie?
I'll vote partially.
I said that.
Partial vote.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. How many minimally? I saw a couple of no votes. Yeah, did you vote?
Okay. How many abstain?
All right. So mostly it's a partial.
You know what it is? It's when you develop a measure. And you want people to do something, okay? You then collect your data, but the implicit is that they're doing it. That they're going to do this. That what you've asked them to do, they're going to do. So that should be part of the measure. It shouldn't be this add-on later that says, "Oh, let's check if they're doing it the way we want them to be doing it." So that's where this is very. Someone said it before. We're fixing a measure that's not perfect. There are two measures that are.
No, I don't agree with that notion that you're fixing it. It gives a broader perspective that for the denominator of the two remission measures, it's a good measure for looking at remission. But what you don't know is for the population that the organization is dealing with, you don't know the extent to which you're getting information about the broader depressed population.
But don't you always want to know that?
No.
Don't you? I disagree.
I mean, I would say that for the vast majority of NQF endorsed measures, they're very specific to the very specific denominator. And they don't give you a broad perspective.
We need to just sort of finish this out.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one to vote on for this measure is...
Did we
voted on scientific acceptability.
Yeah. I got 12. Votes. Well, it's because we have people coming and going.
That must be.
Yeah.
Okay, the next
usability.
One, usability.
And this is the paired people? This is the paired folks?
No, this is the process measure.
The measure itself.
This measure on its own.
Not linked...
No, either way.
Either way.
Yeah,
the measure is either usable or it's not.
I think because you've determined that you feel this measure could be used alone, you need to evaluate this measure on its own face value on whether it meets this criteria or not.
I don't think that was understood when you had the last two votes.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Was that understood or not?
Well,
Okay, so let's go back and redo importance as an independent measure. Importance is the first, isn't it?
Yes.
Importance to measure and report.
Completely.
Yeah. Is there anybody who disagreed? That was almost easier.
We're talking about as an independent measure.
As this measure, evaluating it without thinking about the other two, on its own face value, does it meet the importance criteria completely, partially, minimally, or not at all?
As a measure. As an NQF measure.
The
thing that's bizarre to me is that this is so far superior to every existing NQF depression measure. Yeah. It's not even funny. Yeah.
So does it completely meet the importance in your minds?
Assuming that it's a process measure.
Right. Yes. Acknowledging that it's a process measure.
It's a measure.
Okay. It's a measure.
Okay.
Okay, so how many are complete?
Three.
It's fine. I'm so tired.
I have 13.
Did
you get 13?
Okay, how many are partially? And the others?
I think we've got minimally.
Okay. So the next category is scientific acceptability. How many vote completely? How many vote partially?
Like 14.
Like here, 14.
Okay. Any minimally? Any abstentions? Okay. Next category is usability. How many vote completely?
That's seven.
Seven, yeah.
How many vote partially? Any minimally? And any abstentions?
Or not at all.
We're not at all.
missing we're missing someone.
Okay, let's do completely again.
Are we voting?
I'm missing someone in one category.
Eight. Now I have eight. Okay, we're good.
Okay. Then now we're on to feasibility. So how many people would like to vote that this is completely on the feasibility measurement?
CPT.
How many partially?
Me with PQR.
Oh, it's a PQR
four.
Measure.
Four. Yeah.
And how many minimally?
But in
and any abstentions or not at all?
Two codes.
No? Okay, now we have to vote on whether...
We did it backwards.
Oh, okay. So we already recommended... And do you have anything else that we have to vote on? You going to tell us about lunch?
I guess so at that point we do conclude with that this section. We have lunch right out here for the steering committee members. We're hoping to, if we can do it quickly, I know we're a little bit over schedule, so if you don't mind, if take a half an hour or a 15-minute break, grab lunch, make some phone calls, and then if we can come back and start on the measure process here again, that would be wonderful. If you want to bring it back in here.
When do you want us to get started again?
So if we have 15 minutes, can we say at 1 o'clock? We'll be back in here. It's a little bit more than 15 minutes. 1 o'clock, we'll be back in here ready to start.
And so that exists in CPT2CODE, but there's not a CPT2CODE. But there's not measure for the target.
Well, so we didn't get you this year again.
I know.
It'll be a following year.
Yeah, and hopefully there won't be interference with the conversation. I talked to Mary a couple of weeks ago. The problem is that I'm co-chairing this WHO
committee for ICD-11 on quality and patient safety. And so, that, you know, the U.S. is, you know, is moving towards ICD-10, but the rest of the world has been using it for 15, 20 years. And so we're, and so the WHO is actually developing ICD-11. And by treating ICD is well, you know, in the U.S., the ICD-9-CM is the official code you're supposed to use. The, you know, like for DSM, you know, there are no DSM-4 codes. You know, when we developed DSM-4, we figured out which ICD-9-CM code we should give to the DSM across the we make recommendations. Anybody can make recommendations to the national, you know, national committee on. ICD-9-CM is in the public domain, so that, like, if you wanted to do the Rich Goldberg, you know, diagnostic manual, you could, you know, publish it in your own definitions for all the conditions and put in ICD-9-CM codes, and it's legitimate that people could bill according to your It's sort of pretty little secret about the DSM-4. Yeah, the APA doesn't own the coding system. But anyway, so... But by treaty, actually the reason for the ICD's existence, you know, the base ICD is developed by WHO, and the U.S. along with a number of other countries are required by treaty to report mortality statistics to WHO using the ICD. Well, it turns out that what the ICD has evolved into, you know, these were reimbursement, billing, quality measuring, you know, morbidity reporting, all kinds of other things. The scope of the project you know, in the past, when they develop it, they have people who, you know, are epidemiologists, essentially, you know, with some terms of developing, but now they want to more officially bring in, you know, these other uses to consider them in an official way. So, you know, so our role in our committee is to, you know, look at to make recommendations about it would be a lot easier if there were codes for these kinds of conditions or these kinds of specifiers, you know, like present eye emission. You know, that now there is a sort of a subordinate coding system to do that for the present eye emission stuff for, you know, for Medicare. But it's not an ICD thing. It's something that they added on top of it. And that now people are coding, but they sort of otherwise essentially have to hire nurses to extract the information. Door-to-balloon time for people with CDMI. Well, door-to-balloon time is only relevant for people with ST elevations. But, you know, but MIs with STEMIs is not, you know, is not an ICD code. So we can recommend with ICD-11 that be...
That sounds interesting.
To be... an ICD code, but we might go into the forum and say, well, we think this is important, but you know, cardiologists, you know,
this is going to open a whole new door of commentary. I mean, it was inevitable in some ways, but just, if nothing else, it starts the debate, but the process could be a little different, but that's how it is.
It is how it is.
I have to laugh because this is compared to what dementia would be if we were trying to have this discussion around outcome measures for dementia would be an order of magnitude more complex. I mean, this is low-hanging fruit compared to that.
Oh, I know.
This is a good I don't think dementia is...
But
No, I'm here.
But,
I'm fine how it went. I'm at point. But it's going to be, it's going to create a whole new discussion in the bigger community. And as I said, the only thing that would make me feel more comfortable, it would have been nice to have seen